By day, Paul Kibler is a social worker in Plattsburgh, New York. His father, Vic, retired a few years ago as an auto mechanic in his own repair shop in the village of Vales Mills. But after working on weekends, the Kiblers often perform together, playing traditional dance tunes for concerts and parties throughout northern New York and New England. Vic plays the fiddle. Paul accompanies him on piano or electric keyboard.
We have an Ossanny fiddler that really represents an important tradition of fiddling in the North Country. And we have Vic Kibler here, who grew up in Fulton and has a long tradition in his family of playing music, and particularly of playing fiddle music. And he's going to play some tunes for us, and he even has his son playing piano for him.
Well, I'll play a tune called The Lighthouse Reel.
But in concert, what I notice when we're performing out in front of people is that we get progressively faster. We tend to start pretty slow, and by the end of the concert, he's flying. I mean, he's in high gear, you know. And that's the nature of the music, too. It sort of builds depending upon what your audience is. And it's a very intimate kind of music with your audience. And the more they get into it, the more you get into it. And you get more excited. And I mean, that's part, of almost every musical performance. But especially this music, I find.
Well, you know, we kind of like to try, at the end of a concert, we want something kind of fast. We kind of pick a novelty tune, you know, of some kind. And of course, after we play it a couple of times, then I like to really rip it off fast, you know. And that kind of leaves the audience in kind of a good, merry spirit, like, you know what I mean? But usually what that ends up doing is making us play a couple more tunes, you know.
Welcome to Meet the Masters. I'm Kathleen Fitzgerald, your host for this series of conversations with traditional artists from the northern region of New York State, the North Country. Each individual or community group in the series has been acknowledged as masters of their art by Traditional Arts in Upstate New York, an organization dedicated to the preservation and presentation of local folk culture. All these artists have been honored with the North Country Heritage Award and are well-known institutions in their own corners of the region, admired and respected for who they are and what they do. Vic Kibler was born in 1919 in Wells, New York, in the southern foothills of the Adirondack Mountains. He learned to play the fiddle from his great-uncle Lewis Nichols and his uncle Morris Fountain when he was about 15 years old. His grandfather William Fountain was a musical inspiration as well.
My grandfather, of course, and my uncles, my mother and all of them were old-time fiddlers and played music all the time. But this time, my grandfather had died. He was the best one. He was the greatest fiddler of the bunch of them. And he had died, but and I was about 13 years old by that time. They had a block dance in Broad Auburn, and they had this young fiddler. I think his name was Hiram Mortimer. He was some relation of ours. And he played for the block dance, and when I heard that fiddle music, it brought back my grandfather and all my uncles and my mother and all of them playing. I said, I'm going to play the fiddle. So I borrowed my aunt's fiddle, and I started playing. And Uncle Morris, he was still alive and was playing, and he heard me playing. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm trying to learn to play the fiddle. And he said, why don't you play it right if you're going to play it, he says. Well, I said, why don't you teach me? He says, I will. So he started showing me how to play. Of course, I'd heard my grandfather play in that old country, that old kitchen over there on the farm, because he used to babysit me when the folks went away. And so when I started playing, after I got the technique of the fiddle, I knew all the tunes up in my head. I could just play them right off. So I actually practically learned to play the fiddle when I grew up, you know. And so that was the way that I got into it.
In the 1930s, when Vic was in high school, he got together with three other school friends who played guitar and banjo, and the band called themselves the Adirondack Mountaineers. Vic remembers that they enjoyed performing early country music, bluegrass, and traditional dance tunes. His house in Vales Mills is still filled with reminders of those days, photographs of his friends and family playing music, and a collection of instruments, including a German Amani-style violin he still uses.
In fact, that old fiddle, I can tell you something about that. That belonged to an old gatekeeper in the knitting mill in Broad Auburn, and he was an old-time fiddler, and he was buzzing wood one day, and he got tangled up with a saw and sawed his fingers off and couldn't play anymore. So he put this fiddle in the paper for sale. Well, I'd been playing on my aunt's fiddle, and my dad said, it's time for you to have your own instrument now and give Aunt Olive her fiddle back. So he saw that in the paper, and he says, let's go over and see what that old guy wants for that fiddle. So I said, okay. So we went over, and we looked at the fiddle and liked it and everything, and I asked him what he wanted for it, and lo and behold, he said, $5. Boy, my dad, you know, give him the $5 quick before he changed his mind. And we took that fiddle, and I've been playing 60 years on that fiddle.
Other family members inspired Vic. Summers were spent at his Uncle Lukey's farm, where days were filled with haying and farm chores, but nights were devoted to music making.
His name was Uncle Lewis, Uncle Lukey Nichols. We called him Uncle Lukey. And he was a great fiddler, too. So smooth and so nice, you know, because he played that long bow method and done all the fiddling with his fingers, actually, down on the fingerboard. Of course, Grandpa, he sawed him right off. And to my liking, I think Grandpa was the best because, well, he used to saw him right off, right down to the last note. Boy, it almost put chills up your back, you know, to hear it. Oh, boy. Wow. I have other fiddles. That's Uncle Lukey's fiddle up there on the wall. I keep that hanging up there as a shrine. That played for more dances up in Speculator and Lake Pleasant, Paseco area than you could think, you could count, I think, you know.
Lukey Maurice and Grandpa Billy were best known as dance fiddlers. They played regularly for all kinds of social gatherings, but their popularity as fiddlers didn't always meet with family approval. Vic's grandmother was opposed to dancing on moral grounds and frowned on music making for that purpose.
My grandmother, you know, she hated it. She hated that. She said the devil was in the fiddle. She was very religious and, oh. And the poor woman was hecheled all her life because Uncle Lukey was her brother, and when they were growing up, he was fiddling every minute, you know. Then she married Billy Felton, which was my uncle, my grandfather, and he was playing every minute. And he played for dances too, I'm sure. I never heard, but I'm sure he did. And Uncle Morris, then he come along, and Uncle Hector, he played the mandolin usually. And then Uncle Morris came along. You know what happened one morning? They got up. Grandma, of course, was up early, and she'd had breakfast to go in and everything. And Grandpa got up, and Uncle Morris got up, and they were in the kitchen there, and all at once, I think it was Grandpa, started rattling his fingers on, making rhythm on the table top, you know. And Uncle Morris, he started right in a jigging on that kitchen floor to beat all, you know. And boy, that irked my grandmother so. She said, if that's all you can do this morning, you better go right back to bed.
So Vic was encouraged to play music, but his mother, a good pianist herself, wanted him to play for church and at home.
My mother taught me a lot of tunes. But you know, the ironic thing about that is, she made me promise her that I wouldn't play for dances when I was just a kid. I was 13 when I started to play, you know. And I never played for a dance. I primed her. She said she was afraid I was going to get out in bad company and get fighting and drinking and carrying on, carousing around. Because, boy, Uncle Morris was a dandy. I tell you, boy, he was a devil. he was into everything, boy. So she was so afraid that I was going to get into that mess, too, that she made me promise that I wouldn't pay for a dance, and I never did.
Of all the members of his family, Vic says his Uncle Morris is the most memorable as a character. He was also well known in the community for his musicianship and devotion to playing.
Uncle Morris, he got so big and fat, and he got high blood pressure and everything. We had to stop him playing. He played awful hard. Oh, he saw something terrible, you know. He wasn't a very smooth player. And we had to stop him. We were afraid he was going to have a heart attack. Boy, his head would get red, and he was just working himself right to death on that thing. So we stopped him, my land. I remember one incident very clearly. Our farmhouse was in Munsonville, was about, I would say, probably around 3 or 4 miles north of Broad Auburn. Well, the Broad Auburn Hotel burnt this one night, and I just happened to be, Uncle Morris, he was sitting in there fiddling away like mad. He was playing the sailor's hornpipe. I can remember the tune even. And I happened to look out that window, and you could see the flames coming from that thing. It was such an immense, intense fire, you know. It was, and I could see the smoke, and I said, Uncle Morris, look at that. Yeah, he said there's a fire, and he kept right on fiddling. Didn't pay no more attention to it than nothing.
Like most other traditional fiddlers in the region, Vic has been influenced by a number of musical styles. His mother's family heritage is a good example of the typical ethnic makeup of the region. The Fountains were French from Quebec, while the Nichols were Irish and Scottish. Other influences included the radio, which brought musical programs from Canada into the home. Fiddlers were finding new and exciting sources of music.
They call my style the Adirondack style because fiddlers have went back and forth across the border and played with each other. So their music has kind of merged together. There's a little twinge of Adirondack and a little twinge of Canadian together, and it's a unique style all in itself. And they call it the Adirondack style, or they do around here anyway. Of course, in Canada, they call it the Canadian style. Then when I started to play, of course, the tunes come right to me. It was very simple. After I got the technique of how to play, of course, Uncle Morris showed me a lot of things about how to play the fiddle and how to hold the bow and stuff. Of course, I very quickly found out that when you play fiddle music, there's no difference how you hold anything. You just you just play. Of course, if you're a violinist, you have to hold down by the frog and, you know what I mean, and crook your wrist up when you come up with a bow. And if you're playing with somebody, the bows all have to be going the same and all that foolishness, you know. Of course, playing the fiddle, that's all forgotten. You don't pay any attention to that.
Vic's family, particularly on his mother's side, loved music. Various members played the pump organ, the five-string banjo, the guitar, even brass instruments. And they all sang, in church, at home, anywhere they could. But it was fiddling for which so many of the family became known. Of the more than 400 tunes which Vic can still play are several that he and his son Paul consider to be their inheritance. Paul Kibler.
A lot of the tunes that my dad plays, only, as far as he knows, people in our family played.
Yeah. So family tunes.
So it isn't just that we sort of had a unique style. It's that we had our own unique repertoire, if you will, of tunes. And, of course, most of these tunes didn't even have names.
No, they didn't know the names.
So when we made the album, my dad had to give them names, like Uncle Lukey's tune number 1 or Uncle Morris's tune 3 or whatever. I mean,
and Grandpa's Reel is a tune that he always played that I learned to play from hearing him play, so I call that Grandpa's Reel.
The album Paul refers to came about at the request of fans. Titled Vic Kibler, Adirondack Fiddler, it was released in 1992 by Sampler Records and was selected as an outstanding folk recording by the American Folklife Center of the Library of Congress that year. One of the tunes in that collection is Grandpa's Reel. Thank you.
I never heard that my grandfather made up, or Morris made up, any tunes of their own, but they might have. I don't know. In fact, these family tunes, Hiram Mortimer, or a few people in the families, and my folks, the only ones I ever heard play them. So I kind of, when I got records and when I heard other fiddlers, like from Canada and different places, play, I said, now I'm gonna find out what the right name for these tunes are, and I'm going to find out where they came from and like that. But lo and behold, they don't play them. So I've never heard anybody else play them.
You're listening to Meet the Masters. I'm Kathleen Fitzgerald, and this week we're talking to traditional Adirondack fiddler Vic Kibler and his son Paul. The traditional combination for house parties and kitchen dances in rural Adirondack communities was a fiddle and a piano. Since so many farmhouses had parlors, often complete with upright pianos, many a gathering ended with a night of music and dancing. It's not surprising that as Vic raised his own family, more musicians emerged. Paul Kibler, a graduate of Hamilton College with a major in psychology and a minor in music, has been accompanying his father since he was 10 years old and performs with him whenever their schedules permit. Paul's accompaniment style was developed through attending fiddle contests with his father.
My dad really couldn't teach me how to play the fiddle because I was left-handed, and it was hard for him to figure out how to teach me the other way around, basically. And I'm not really sure exactly why I was drawn to the piano, but I was, from an early age, drawn to it. And a lot of people on my mother's side of the family were the type that could just sit down at the piano and play it by ear right away. And I sort of inherited that skill. I did take piano lessons later on, but I always was drawn toward the keyboard. And one day he happened to be playing in another room, and I sat down and said, well, let me just see if I can play chords to this. And it just, of course, came right to me because I'd heard these tunes all my life. So, and as Dad had said before, we've really played together ever since, and I really began to want to know more about where he learned these tunes and who in my family had played them. And then, of course, Dad began to play out more. And eventually he sort of pulled me into that and said, I really want you to come and play, because it was something that we did for years in this living room where we're recording this show, but we never really did out much. And I said, well, I'll try it. Why not? You know?
Here's one of the old-style tunes Vic and Paul play. It's a tune Vic found on an old recording made by some Western-style fiddlers. The tune is the Pole County Breakdown.
Things I heard my dad say recently on an interview that he had was that his mom said that he cut teeth on the fiddle bow. And I cut teeth on piano keys. I mean, that's what we did. I mean, I always had a lot of sympathy for my poor mother, because there'd be times in this house, which as you can see isn't too big, where we'd all be playing at the same time in different rooms, some of us upstairs and downstairs, some out on the front porch or back porch. And we'd do it for an hour, maybe 2 hours, three, and finally my mom would say, that's it, no more. I can't take any more of this, you know. So this house has always been filled with music, and it's always been, I really think the closeness that we have to each other in this family has always revolved around music. I mean, that's, it's just a part of, the major part, I think, of who we are.
Music continues to be the center of family life. Vic performs regularly. His older son, Keith, is an accomplished operatic singer with a doctorate in music from the Eastman School, and Paul and his wife are very active musically in the Plattsburgh area.
I guess probably I'm the person in the family that's more of a musical eclectic than anybody else. I mean, there's just about no kind of music I haven't done. Of course, I grew up spending a lot of time in church, so I sang a lot in church. I sang in school. I played the trombone for years in school and even into college. Marching bands, jazz bands, orchestras, you name it. And when I was a teenager, I sang for a number of years with a traveling gospel group all over the eastern U.S. And once I went into college, I became a lot more involved with, I guess you'd call it serious music, classical music, things like that. But in recent years, I've been playing so much with Dad that I've sort of become more known as a keyboardist than I ever had been before. So the piano was always there, and it was always a part of what I did, but never as much as in the last few years with all the playing that I've done with Dad. But, I feel like my dad's a real specialist musically, and my brother's a real specialist musically, but I'm a dabbler in all of it, you know. I do it all and enjoy it all.
Paul has had more opportunities to accompany Vic in recent years thanks to folklorists Vaughn and George Ward of the Albany area, who have spent years getting to know the old-time musicians and collecting hundreds of traditional tunes. But the transition from casual home playing to concert performer was not an easy one for Vic.
I had an older brother, and they used to always say to us, children are supposed to be seen and not heard, you know. If we get talking with a company or something come and we begin to talk pretty good with now you better go and you better do your homework, you better, you know, you've said enough, you better go, you know. They'd usher us right out of the room, you know. We said too much. That's the way I was brought up. It's a wonder I ever got so I could do anything, you know, really. Maybe it was a good thing, maybe it wasn't, I don't know. But I've always been kind of backwards and shy of doing anything. That's why I sat in the house for years and just played for myself. I never even thought about going out where anybody could hear me or anything, you know. Until George Ward and Vaughn got a hold of me, then I was out in the limelight from then on.
The Wards are themselves performing musicians and have encouraged some of the best old-time musicians in the Northeast to perform publicly. New audiences have had the opportunity to hear some of the old-time tunes, and for many of the performers, like Vic and Paul, their new experiences have been eye-opening.
You never really know. You never really know what you're going to have. I mean, every time you get up there and do this.
Like that thing in Umpsonville, you know? That
right.
Was
we did
a surprise
concert,
of my life.
We know? Did a concert recently. Actually, it was Labor Day weekend at this wonderful sort of Adirondack Outfitter-type store called Kindred Spirits in Olmstedville. And it was this tiny little store, and we thought, well, you know, maybe we'll have 20 people or something come in. I mean, it really didn't seem like that big of a deal. They were going to have homemade pies and things. And then all of a sudden, the crowd started coming in. And, I mean, there wasn't room for another person in that store. I mean, there must have been 100 people. And people were, I mean, kids and everybody were, like, right up tight close to us, you know.
Yeah, we were playing right in the middle of them, practically. You know?
And they loved it. I mean, it was an amazing experience, and it was actually ideal for this music because, like I say, this is a very intimate music. We like to have people real close. I mean, right up next to us when we're doing it. I find it very peculiar when we're way up on a high stage and there's an audience way out there because that isn't what this is. This is not like a staged performance kind of thing. It's just sharing it with the people that are there and helping them to understand it and be able to enjoy it as much as we do.
Well, I study the audience all the time when I'm playing, you know, and I play the type of tunes. Like if I am playing along and think something is going too good and I play a two-step and I see they like that, you know, then I'll play two steps. Or if I see that they don't like two steps and I play a reel and they really get into a reel, then I'll play a lot of reels. I study the audience and try to please them. That's my main thing, you know, because I am playing for them, you know.
That was traditional fiddler Vic Kibler and his son Paul, who accompanies him on piano and keyboard. Meet the Masters, Conversations with Traditional North Country Artists, is produced by Traditional Arts in Upstate New York. This program was written and produced by Varick Chittenden and Lamar Bliss. The interview was conducted by Jamie Marrera. Audio engineering by Lamar Bliss in the studios of North Country Public Radio, Canton, New York. The series is supported by a grant from the Lila Wallace Reader's Digest Fund Community Folklife Program, administered by the Fund for Folk Culture and underwritten by the Lila Wallace Reader's Digest Fund. Research and field recordings were supported by the Sweetgrass Foundation. I'm your host, Kathleen Fitzgerald.